I want to talk to you today about the book of Ruth. It's in the Bible, almost oddly, because it's this personal story of, it's only four chapters, of this woman that comes from Moab to Israel and so on. It's not just because it took place. There's plenty of people who lived and they didn't. Their story is not told. But it's in the Bible. One of the reasons is it has a late entry because it is there to show the Israelites that Gentiles can also come into the kingdom. Remember, in the time of Ezra, as they returned to the land, they have these reforms where they have to put away their foreign wives and so on. And it seems as if they might have gone too far. And so this book is there to show you that someone from another country can come as a sojourner into the land and be a believer and really make a difference in the nation. And so one of the things that you have to understand from my perspective, as a book, it's the only love story in the Bible where it never talks about how beautiful the woman is. Why? It never even mentions that Boaz and Ruth love each other. The real love seems to be between Naomi and Ruth, which has been twisted by modern people into the wrong direction. But the point that I really want to get to is this. The writer wants to make a moral point. One of the reasons why I know it's late is because it uses the word nasa for marriage, which originally meant to lift up and only later meant to marry in the time of Ezra. So it shows some late writing, but the writer wants you to tie it to Genesis. So Ruth becomes a kind of Abraham, someone who leaves the land of their birth, someone who leaves father and mother, someone who goes into the promised land, and out of this is able to come into covenant relationship with the God of Israel. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 11, Boaz compliments her on these things and says, "You've come under the wings of the Almighty." It's also interesting that the names of all the characters seem to have some literary value. The name Ruth means companion. The name Naomi means sweet. The name Boaz means strong. And Mahlon and Chilion, the sons of Naomi, mean sick and weakly, so on like that. The one person who makes no difference whatsoever is this other kinsman that passes on marrying Ruth, and he's called Palmoni Almoni, which is just so-and-so in Hebrew. And so they don't even give him a name at all. But it's interesting that even Naomi, whose name means sweetness, because she's come from all this tragic circumstances, she says, "Don't even call me that. Call me Mara." Mara means bitter, because she says, "The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." So everything in the book is there to be able to teach things about life, teach things about worship of God, teach things about how we can come to know God. And so Ruth not only is an example of someone whose hard work and submission and loyalty, you know, makes a difference. She is blessed because there's a faith element. She's trusting in God. She's trusting in Boaz. The whole threshing floor scene is her saying, "Boaz, I trust you to do the right thing. You're the kinsman redeemer." One of the elements that people sometimes struggle with is, she's come in, she gets into Boaz's field by God's providence, and it's obvious they like each other. Why doesn't he make a move? One of the things is that she has been wearing widow's garments. And so in chapter 3, Naomi says, "You need to wash, you need to anoint yourself, you need to put on new clothes." She's been on the social register as a widow, being able to glean in the fields. And Naomi says, "Time to get on the marketing. It's time to get a husband. And I know just who you need. You need Boaz." So we need Naomi's in our life. We need Ruth's. We need Boaz's. So I want to bless you that you realize that this book is there to teach you things. It's not just because it happened. It's able to teach you how to find healing, how to find direction, how to find faith, how to follow the call of God, to leave where you were, to go where God's calling you, and to be who God's called you to be.